When the Massachusetts Life Sciences Center was created 7 years ago, it had a big goal: to create 250,000 life sciences jobs over 10 years. But nowhere near that many jobs have been created so far, and this is a critical time for the initiative. There's a new governor who initially was skeptical of the center, and its founding CEO has left. WBUR's Asma Khalid has this look at the center's future.
The story of the Mass Life Sciences Center really begins in 2008. That year, the state decided to invest $1 billion over the next decade in the life sciences.
I like to say I began with a piece of paper, the life sciences legislation. No staff, no office, just a vision.
Susan Wyndham Bannister was the founding CEO of the center. She stepped down last month.
I think the most important thing that we've done is to create an ecosystem.
Before the Life Sciences Initiative, Wyndham Bannister says the state already had a lot of the right ingredients: strong universities, talented people, and innovative companies.
But they functioned very independently. Our reputation in Massachusetts was a lot of smart people who don't play very well together.
Throughout her tenure, Wyndham Bannister focused on collaboration through tax breaks, internships, loans, and grants. She was keen to avoid the mistakes she said the state previously made with the tech sector.
We lost that because we didn't invest in a focused manner. We saw a lot of great companies catapult right out of our universities, right out of Massachusetts into California and to New York, which had more of the resources and the infrastructure that they needed.
An important focus for the center these days is early-stage companies. The center has doled out hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants to young startups. I meet Peter Kelly in Amesbury, where he's working on the circuit boards for a product he's developing. Kelly recently received $84,000 for his company, InsomniSolve.
These are worn on your wrists, and they each contain a small vibration motor.
Kelly is designing a device that helps people fall asleep without taking drugs.
We're stimulating alternate sides of the body, left and then right, at a very slow rate. It has a very hypnotic effect. It's very much like rocking a baby to sleep.
Kelly is planning a clinical trial at Mass General Hospital. He says without the life sciences grant, he probably would not be able to conduct any experiments.
We are in classic Death Valley of startup land, which means we've got very exciting, new, promising technology. But all the investors you talk to want to see proof. They want some data on how effective it is. But of course, we need to raise some money to get that data.
Many folks in the industry say Massachusetts actually needs to do more to help small, early-stage companies. But critics say the state should not be in the business of picking winners and losers.
Does it really make sense to spend $1 billion targeting life sciences with incentives and ignoring a problem of the loss of research development jobs statewide?
Greg Sullivan is with the Pioneer Institute. He says tech and research companies have been kicked to the curb while the state zeroed in on life sciences. Sullivan says Massachusetts ought to be taking more cues from California. The state has broad research tax incentives, not just benefits limited to the life sciences. So far, the Life Sciences Center has spent about $600 million out of the total $1 billion. More than half of the money has gone toward capital projects, specifically the UMass system. Supporters say that's creating a pipeline of talent and innovation, but Sullivan is skeptical.
I'm critical of the way in which they've given the money out, with so much of it being dedicated back to the state schools, and relatively speaking, not that much to companies who are being incentivized to come here.
Sullivan's main criticism is that all this focus on the life sciences has not translated into jobs. It's tough to put an exact number on job growth. Estimates through 2013 are all over the place, ranging from a low of 571 to a high of 11,000. But former CEO Susan Wyndham Bannister says the goal is more than job creation.
What we've achieved over the last 7 years is we are undisputedly the number one life sciences community in the world.
She points to buzz in the biotech sphere and industry rankings, plus the construction cranes around town, and the fact that nearly every large drug company now has a footprint in Massachusetts. The Baker administration seems to agree. Earlier this year, there was a lot of talk about possibly merging the quasi-agencies and dissolving the Life Sciences Center as an independent organization. But now the Secretary of Housing and Economic Development, Jay Ash, insists that is not going to happen.
I'm very much a bottom line guy. The bottom line here is that we are number one in the world in life sciences. We are the envy of everybody else in the country and in the world. So I think anything that's happened in order to get us there, we need to be supportive of.
Ash says he knows there's a lot of competition. He says the administration is planning to hire a new CEO soon, the one who comes for a cheaper price. Wyndham Bannister was making $285,000 a year. Ash says the Baker team is also looking at ways to streamline the agency and spread the wealth.
We'd like to figure out a way to help the life sciences industry grow beyond Greater Boston and, in fact, all of Massachusetts.
The Baker administration came in questioning the center's effectiveness, but for now it seems committed to finishing the experiment. The initiative goes through 2018. The question is, what happens after that? For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.